From fisticuffs to films and from high drama to comedy and music, Norwich Theatre Royal has given us so much since it was christened way back in 1768. And somehow, as buildings have come tumbling down around it, it has survived and transformed into one of the leading provincial theatres in the land, offering something for everyone. Over the years, it was thought that the cinema, the bingo, and then television would finish off live theatre, but it's still here. The Theatre Royal has seen good times and bad. It was gutted by a savage fire in June of 1934, but rose from the ashes, and the new theatre, the third to be built on the site, opens its doors in 1936. The theatre survived air raids during the Second World War when two incendiary bombs dropped on the roof, and the City Council came to its rescue when the money ran out. To have survived is an extraordinary achievement, and in the 21st century the theatre has been expanding, involving more local and young people, which is so important. In more recent times, that is down to the likes of inspirational general managers and chief executives, such as Dick Condon and Peter Wilson, and a team of dedicated men and women who have worked so hard to keep the theatre at the top of the tree. In 1757, architect Thomas Ivory built a theatre on land next to the present Theatre Royal to house the Norwich Company of Comedians. It opened the following year, but it wasn't until 1768 when a licence was granted and the theatre was christened. By 1825, the building was in a poor old way, and the second Theatre Royal was opened in 1826. It cost £6,000 and could seat 1,000 people. Paganini played his violin to packed houses there in 1831, and 5 years later, the first Italian opera company to come to Norwich arrived. And during Assize Week, a time of great celebration, well, for some that is, it was announced, "In compliance with the public wish, the manager introduces upon a most complete and splendid scale, the gas." Before that, it was lit by candles and oil lamps. At the time, Norwich was a great manufacturing city, with thousands of men and women working in the factories, and they wanted to be entertained. And musical comedies were very popular with the people, but not necessarily with the critics. One writing, "A total absence of plot is no bar at all, but rather a recommendation. A visit to the theatre is made now to indulge in what is widely known as a good laugh." Well, I'm not sure what that critic would have thought of Barnum Circus with the likes of General Tom Thumb, or a realistic bullfight staged by the Ducrow Circus in 1838. In fact, the bulls were trained horses encased in a bull's hide. In 1903, variety acts took over, and the theatre was sold to Bostock and Fitt and renamed the Norwich Hippodrome at a time when the other Hippodrome opened as the Grand Opera House in St Giles. All rather confusing, but to cut a long story short, the Theatre Royal changed its name back to the original one, while the Grand Opera House became the Hippodrome. And there they sat, on either side of the market, reaching out to customers of all ages and of all interests, from music hall to classical music. In 1913, the theatre was improved and a new stage was built. During the First World War, the comedy shows were popular. Not surprisingly, people wanted a temporary escape from a grim life. Then, on a hot June day in 1934, disaster struck. A cashier noticed flames coming from underneath the safety curtain. Within 2 hours, the theatre was destroyed. Heartbreaking for so many, but especially for owner Jack Gladwin, who pledged to rebuild it. And he did just that, with the opening of a new theatre in September 1935. During the rest of the 1930s, the biggest names in showbiz arrived, including Gracie Fields, at the peak of her career in the summer of 1936. Hitler failed to destroy the theatre in the Second World War when it was packed with servicemen and women. How the GIs loved it. And Hollywood favourite Walter Matthau said it was the first time he had walked on a stage. Come the 1950s, and the live theatre was struggling. Many predicted the end. The Theatre Royal became an soldo cinema, and for a time the only live action came from the showmen wrestlers. By the 1960s, the biggest pop acts of the day were arriving. When Cliff Richard came, he had to make his escape from the stage door, and an evening news reporter ended up giving him a lift to a pub in Thorpe where the Shadows were waiting. But by 1967, it looked as if the theatre would go the way of the Hippodrome and probably become a car park. Norwich City Council came to the rescue. It became a civic theatre. Major changes were made, and it reopened under the Theatre Royal Trust, and in the summer of 1972, a flamboyant Irishman by the name of Dick Condon arrived. It was as if the lights were suddenly switched on to full beam. Who remembers him standing by the box office before the start of his show, shaking hands and greeting most of the patrons by their first names? He was more famous than some of the stars. Dick was at the helm for 20 years. More changes and improvements were made, and then along came Peter Wilson, another theatre giant, and today Chief Executive Stephen Crocker, who's backed and supported by a great team of men and women. And they all have one thing in common. They love the Theatre Royal and all that it has to offer. And so do we.